Hello, my name is Chip Lang. You're listening to Total EM. We are back again with Frank Norman. If you had not heard last week's podcast, please go back and listen to this one first. It's kind of a little more of an introduction. But today what we're going to talk about are a few more details that we want to mention about what SPACIS is promoting and about how to integrate ultrasound in a curriculum for ultrasound, both in the PA school side and in the general institutional side. So I have Frank back with me. Frank, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Chip. My name is Frank Norman. I am a physician assistant practicing primarily emergency medicine in Central Florida and a member of the Society of Physician Assistants in Clinical Ultrasound.
What we would have a couple of questions on were, like I said, a little more detail from last time, but I want to reiterate something because I feel like it's something we need to mention every time we bring it up. Why is POCUS or point of care ultrasound so important?
Well, again, Chip, it really does. It goes back to the heart of it, makes us better clinicians. So regardless of what you do or what kind of medicine you practice or in what environment, having the immediate feedback that point of care ultrasound provides you is essential to making you better, helping you to understand anatomy, helping us to understand physiology and how things work. I think it also helps us with patient satisfaction. It helps to helps us with patient education so that we can actually show patients what's going on with them. I'll briefly tell you that I think there's probably nothing more reassuring for a mom and a dad who's expecting and has first trimester bleeding to be able to actually see the heartbeat on an ultrasound that you can show them right there at the bedside. It's tremendously satisfying. I think it's important for everybody, but you know, it's mobile. It helps us to save time, decreases our length of stay, and it's better for patient care.
True facts and things you can find in all sorts of different papers there. How do you integrate in an already busy and filled PA school curriculum point of care ultrasound?
That's a great question. That's a frequent concern when we have program directors or students or anybody else who we sort of who we converse with about this subject. But I think it's important to understand that integrating ultrasound into the curriculum of PA schools isn't about mastering applications. It's not about having to learn sort of the intricacies and everything that needs to be known about a particular application. But I think it's about better learning. In other words, if you think back to how you learn a cardiac cycle and how you have to sort of listen to it and you have to visualize it in your mind without being able to see it, it's much easier to sort of learn those concepts when you're looking at a parasternal long axis of the heart and are able to see the valves opening and closing, the jets that are being created by each one of the murmurs, where that sits sort of in the cardiac cycle, where the heart sounds themselves sit in relation to where you're listening to them with a stethoscope. Instead of trying to visualize what hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is, actually being able to see that septum that's enlarged. We're not talking about adding things into the curriculum so that there's an additional portion of learning that has to be done. We're just talking about maybe changing the way that learning is done so that it's more visual. The students can actually see it and be able to understand it.
People have been talking about recently in their attempts of introducing ultrasound into medical school, PA school, what have you, that a lot of them are bringing it up in the anatomy section just because, like you said, it actually brings anatomy to a whole new level. You can do it anatomy on the living patient, essentially, or you can even still do it. I think some programs are even doing it on cadavers still to at least show you, okay, this is what you're looking at through the ultrasound probe. Now, if we look actually under the tissue, this is what we can see as well. I've heard a lot of great feedback from that people are enjoying those types of anatomical approaches. And it seems like a very basic but important way to start people on ultrasound, just understanding the basics of it.
Absolutely. Again, it reinforces some of those concepts that they're already learning in school. And I think one of the important things that it can teach us is not just about gross anatomy, but really things like clinical anatomy. In other words, being able to look at those rotator cuffs or actually see how the shoulder actually works or how the heart functions or visualize peristalsis through the abdomen or actually see the edges of the liver where they are in the physical exam. So all those concepts, I think, are easily reinforced with ultrasound. But at the end of the day, let's keep in mind that we need to perform this because if we're going to stay in the medical model of education, we've got to keep up with medical schools. And right now, there are 13 medical schools that are fully integrating ultrasound into their curriculum. That means from day one, they have a longitudinal integration of that ultrasound within the curriculum. And those kids are graduating already knowing how to do 12 or so scans that PA students are not going to be able to learn. we've got to do our best to be able to roll with the changing times.
Something we've talked about before is trying to integrate ultrasound in PA schools because we need to match the curriculum as much as possible in medical school. And I know with at least one school in Missouri, there's a medical school that is actually introducing ultrasound. And their students, like you said, they're starting to learn how to do scans right away. Now, some of them, they still have a lot to learn about ultrasound. They'll be the first to admit it, but they do a great job about at least understanding the basics, whereas a lot of the PAs I'm training on the clinical side, it may be the first time they actually have held the ultrasound themselves, ultrasound probe, and gone through the scan in any sort of manner. For me, at least, I had these students for a short amount of time, but we try and go through how to do a rush exam, an EFAS exam, how to do a simple cutaneous exam for like cellulitis, abscess, those types of things, ocular ultrasounds, all that kind of stuff. But if they're getting it only for their first time and they're on a rotation with me in their final year, that is pretty hard for them to actually get to a competency level before they leave. And I know my program, when I graduated, they still hadn't incorporated ultrasound yet. There's a little bit, thankfully, to my rotations, but in the actual didactic time, we didn't have anything like that. And I think that's something that coming into the 21st century as PAs or as med students becoming physicians, we need to embrace that and actually get going in that direction.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And frankly, really the driving force behind this is really students. Students really want this learning. SPACUS has a program which we call the Student Ultrasound Interest Section. And essentially, these are extracurricular clubs that we'll sponsor and provide a mentor for so that students can actually learn ultrasound in PA school. The first one that we had was run by my good friend John Monty, who actually runs the fellowship program at Madigan for PAs. Out of 60 students, they had 14 that signed up, and they went through and did several months work with the ultrasound. The next two that we have coming along, I won't mention what school they're from, but out of a class of 60 students, 41 have signed up for this learning. And frankly, in my PA school class, we couldn't have gotten 41 students to do an extracurricular activity if we had offered pizza and free beer. I'm really impressed with these kids actually wanting to learn this education. I mean, they're hungry for it. So we're more than happy to do that. And we do it for free. And we do it because we love ultrasound and we think it'll make medicine better.
So these are all great things. And I'm, as I just said, I'm all for having PA students learn and get ultrasound early in their careers before they even really start their careers. But what about the people who are listening to this right now and they say, well, geez, I want to now do bedside ultrasound. I can see why it's so beneficial to my practice. Then we talked a little bit about on the last podcast about the competency way of doing this and finding your local guru or Yoda or going to a local course. But let's take this a step further. Maybe they're the one who's the most interested, or maybe they do have that local Yoda or guru who just hasn't actually developed a program yet. What would be the tips, or how do we get this going so that some sort of institution can start doing this too?
I'll answer that in two parts, Chip. The first portion that I'll sort of address is that if you're an individual and you have an interest in ultrasound, but you just don't know how to take that first step and get started, I think one of the best pieces of advice that I can give you is that I sort of use an analogy to learning another language. And when you get over the thought of actually that you're going to say something silly or do something silly when you're learning another language, the minute that you get over that hump, you'll immediately become a better learner. So it's completely understandable that PAs who are experienced and have been practicing for many years now sort of think, oh gosh, I have to learn this whole new thing, and I'm already supposed to know this. I'm a preceptor, I'm a faculty member, I'm supposed to be teaching this, and now I have to learn something and sort of look silly. Once you get over that sort of that expectation that yes, you are not gonna know everything about this and it's gonna be a new experience for you, you'll become a much better learner. Now, the second portion of that is that within SPACUS, we firmly believe that anywhere where ultrasound is employed should have a formal ultrasound program that supports that ultrasound within clinical practice. So whether we're talking about an emergency room that has that does several thousand ultrasounds per year, or a dermatologist's office that has, you know, maybe three or four per month, there should be a formal program that's in place to make sure that the providers are properly trained, that they've gone through they have the proper equipment to do it, that they're fully credentialed, that they're following sort of the steps to create a safe environment for our patients. And one of the things that we definitely believe is that PAs are the perfect profession, really, to be able to become leaders within the PA world and to become the directors of their clinical ultrasound program at their home institutions.
You bring up a point that I think is a little bit of contention with ASEP currently, and that is that ASEP actually lists, when they talk about their ultrasound and how to set up an ultrasound curriculum and program in your institution, they only list physicians. They don't list PAs or NPs or other people who could be potentially leading that. I agree. I think PAs could be a great source for that, and it's one that we shouldn't dismiss. In about as PC a way as possible, how can we address that issue?
The first portion to consider is that if you work in a tertiary center or in a major medical center where you have the collaborating physicians and the attending physicians that you work with are trained in emergency medicine since 2007, they're likely going to have quite a bit of ultrasound experience. And frankly, they may be the most ultrasound savvy providers within the hospital themselves. Likewise, that those tertiary centers likely have a physician who was fellowship trained, who spent a year just learning clinical ultrasound and how to institute that program. I would not argue with that approach. The leadership within the ultrasound program should have really two qualifications. They should be the most experienced provider within the ultrasound realm, and also they should also be the most enthusiastic provider about ultrasound. In a tertiary center, that may be the case. But I work in a community hospital who up until, let's say a year ago, didn't even have an ultrasound machine. So the most experienced provider in my hospital, not just the emergency room, but in my hospital is myself. It only makes sense that somebody who was able to institute that program should take part in the leadership within it to guide it to be successful.
In a lot of these hospitals that are community hospitals or rural access hospitals, or what the case may be, is that the PA may be the only person with experience, maybe only one of a handful. And yes, there's a physician here. And so to follow the ASEP guidelines, your medical director, for example, may be someone who also needs to go through a quick certification program or something. But for them to actually try and teach it versus you as the PA who has a lot more experience is sometimes almost a name only. There are sometimes institutions that are using the PA as the actual educator and the physician as the name on the board kind of thing. It helps follow along the ASEP guidelines that way, but sometimes it's a little bit to the discredit of who's actually running the show.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, PAs have to sort of judge what the local culture is, what resources you have, the experience of the staff, the experience of the PA, and really try to work through some of those barriers. As a profession, PAs have been excellent sort of silent partners. We've been very good at sort of greasing the wheels to make medicine and patient care a very successful enterprise without really sort of making a whole lot of noise in the background that engage more within the leadership of medicine. But I think those times are changing. But again, I think those decisions have to be made within at the local level. In my case in particular, when my medical director approached me about becoming the director of clinical ultrasound at our emergency room, my initial thought was, I'm happy to be the deputy director. I'm happy to do the heavy lifting. I'm happy to sort of grease the wheels and make things happen behind the scenes. But maybe my medical director would sort of be the face of the program to make it more palatable to some of the subspecialties and some of the other physicians within the organization. He disagreed. He wanted me to actually be the director of the program. But again, in my situation, we just don't have anybody else that has more experience than I do. If at some point in the future we get another provider that's fellowship trained and wants to become the director, I'm happy to let them sort of take the reins of that. If it'll make the program more successful and be better for patient care, I have no problem with that. So I think at the end of the day, those decisions have to be made sort of on the at the practice level, which would be consistent with taking all those factors into consideration.
That's very, very fair to say, because it is complex. It is something that actually takes a lot to consider. Like you said, a lot of these hospitals, it seems that we have quite a few PAs and physicians who sometimes may be sitting on opposite sides of different beliefs or how things can be run. But in the end, we're all here for the patients. And so if it makes more sense for your institution and makes more people happy to work, it may be that the PA is the deputy chair, whatever the case may be, to allow the program to work. But we shouldn't take that to our own discredit. We should be okay with that because we're allowing better access and better training for our patients and to care better for our patients. So for me, I agree. I think this is something that we need to focus on. And as far as the PA world and POCUS world goes, these can be used hand in hand to better benefit both providers who are taking care for their patients and the actual patients themselves.
I agree 100%, Chip. My main motivation really for getting involved within sort of the leadership of the point of care program within my facility. And I'd like to, first of all, point out that I'm not the only one doing it. I can name several PAs across the country, really, who are leaders in their hospitals, point of care ultrasound program, not just in the emergency room, really, but on the floors and in the critical care wards. But my main interest really was I wanted a functional program because point of care ultrasound had changed my practice. It had completely changed the way that I looked at patient care. You know, I think years ago, I used to struggle with that patient that would come in at 2 o'clock in the morning that was short of breath. And frankly, I didn't know whether they had COPD or CHF, or they had pneumonia, or they had flash pulmonary edema. It was very difficult sometimes for me, even after years of experience, to sort of kind of work through that. And I know I was not alone in that, and I'm still not alone in that. But ultrasound has made that process very, very simple. And honestly, within minutes now of examining a patient, I'm able to tell, kind of differentiate between any one of those three things for the cause of the shortness of breath or the dyspnea.
So Frank, all very good points. Do you have anything else you'd like to mention?
Just briefly, Chip, I would like to mention that we've got a couple projects that we're working on within SPACUS right now. The first project is that we will be the first society PA, physician or otherwise, in this country that is creating a set of generalist guidelines. And those guidelines can be accessed on our website, which is at spacus.org. And we're submitting those guidelines and working with the APA currently so that they can be taken as and used as national policy. And those guidelines really endorse ultrasound being used in PA school. They endorse practicing PAs having a pathway to becoming competent in the use of ultrasound. And they also push fellowships and residencies for PAs to be able to also incorporate ultrasound into their learning. With that being said, we've also got some other projects that if anybody's interested in joining SPACUS and participating in those projects, we've got a lot of work. You don't have to be an ultrasound expert. You don't have to have really even any experience because a lot of these projects. I'll give you an example. We have a packet that we're preparing now. That's essentially any PA can go to our website and download this, become a point of care ultrasound director. And it has the credentialing documents in there, the QA paperwork, the letters for follow-up for patients, and really kind of everything that you will need to create that ultrasound presence within your practice.
Do you have any other final comments maybe regarding SPACUS itself?
Yeah, the final thing that I would implore anybody who's out there listening is that if they're curious about ultrasound and they want to join us. Our society is not made up of what we'd call ultrasound snobs. These are not PAs or nurse practitioners or even physicians who all have a high degree of ultrasound experience or competency. There's varying degrees in there. So we're a very welcoming society, and we've got a lot of work that we're still doing. If you're interested in joining us, again, any level of ultrasound competence, we welcome you. And even if you just sort of want to learn ultrasound, if you're a faculty member or a student, we're happy to help out in any way. So just please contact us.
Well, perfect. So I think that covers everything that we've got to talk about today. Frank, it's been a lot of fun having you on here. You've been a huge source of information, and we appreciate all the help you've given us here. If you're interested in SPACUS, we'll include a link in the show notes about how to become a member. I know I still need to become a member on there. I need to make sure I take care of that here soon. But otherwise, Frank, I'll have you give us the tagline.
Until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.